1 Corinthians 13, and I want to look at the entire chapter here this evening. And I want to look at the idea of the greatest of these. What is the greatest of these? Well, let's get straight into the text. Let's see what this is talking about. Let's look at verse 13. That's where we're going to start. We're going to come back to that. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 13 says this, "And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity." The greatest thing, and we looked at it this morning about what is love, and we looked at what the love of God is and how the love of God is able to sustain us and able to carry us through and how we ought to demonstrate the love of God. Now tonight, I want to look at why is charity the greatest of these? Why is charity, why is love the greatest of all of these? And we're going to look at that looking through the book of 1 Corinthians 13 tonight. Father, help us as we look into your word, that we can understand it, that we can grow, that we can learn. Father, I pray that you would just help us here this evening just to be able to hear from your word. Father, I pray you just help me to speak clearly, to help the vocals to be able to share the word this evening and have it be simple and plain to understand. And I pray that you just help us just to be able to gather and help us to leave better than we did when we came in here this evening. Father, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So the greatest of these is charity. And you probably have heard messages on this chapter quite a bit. And the last time I came to this chapter was 3.5 years ago when my sister had passed away. And this was one of her verse 11, which we'll look at later. It was her life verse. And this chapter has a lot of stuff. It's a ministry gift. And it's a gift that in chapter 12, chapter 13, chapter 14, 1 Corinthians delves into some spiritual gifts and tongues and stuff like that. But it takes the break in chapter 13 to talk about the more excellent way that's alluded to at the end of chapter 12. Honestly, folks, love conquers all. Nowhere should there be hate in what we do. Now, there are certain foods that I may hate, that I don't like, but when there are things that need to be done to Christian life, it ought to be done in love. And that's why it says love is the greatest. He lists some good things here in verse 13. It says faith. Faith is good. We're going to come back to that. Hope. Hope is good. And then charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. So let's look at the first verse and let's understand a little more about love, about why is it the greatest of these. And it's going to be explained throughout this entire chapter here, verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. So first of all, we see here that Paul's writing here. The church at Corinth, they had lots of issues, to say the least. This is a church that needed two letters. And it also had a lot of issues. And this was one of them, is that they didn't do things in love. And so he says here, and Paul mentions a lot of personal things here. You'll see a lot of personal pronouns here in the beginning. But he says, though I speak with the tongues of men. He's saying, though I have all the language, though I have every understanding, I could speak anything. And of angels, the tongue of angels, a heavenly language. Paul's saying, if I could have all this, it would be great. I can speak English, and sometimes that doesn't work well. I tried to learn French. I didn't do so great in that. And then I failed Greek in college. Biblical Greek, you're thinking, you're a pastor. Yeah, I know. But biblical Greek isn't spoken. And to learn that, the pace they were teaching us to do that was a little hard for me. So I know personally that if I was to have a gift of a language, that's probably not it. Some of us are multilingual, bilingual, we can speak different languages. That's not my gift. But Paul's saying, though I can speak the tongues of men, I can understand all languages, I can speak angels, and have not charity. Now, charity defined here in the Greek as agape, which is the sacrificial love. And that's the one that's going to be referenced throughout this entire chapter. There are three forms of love that are mentioned in the Bible. There's the eros, there is the phileo, or the brotherly love kind, where you get the city of Philadelphia, and then you have agape, which is the sacrificial love, which is the love that you have toward each other, toward family members, toward husband, wife, whatever the case might be. So he's saying, though, I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Now take a trip over here to the piano with me. And I know live stream's probably not going to catch this as easily right now. But if I was going to just play the piano just randomly, it's going to make no noise, right? It's going to make some noise, but it's not going to make any noise that you're familiar with. But if I put tunes together and I go to the song we just sang beforehand, if I can get the right key, it'd be better. Now, what do you have? A better sound, right? Now, the Bible's saying here is, if you don't have charity, you become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. You just make noise. There's nothing coherent about it. It's just noise. Now, people can touch the piano, but people can play the piano. What I mean by touch is people can hit their notes and hit their stuff and make some noise. But then some people can play the piano, and they can actually make sounds out of it. The idea behind this is, if I don't have charity, if I don't have love, I'm become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. I just make noise. There's nothing that really makes sense. You can play a piano, but you really can't play it if you don't put tunes and notes and chords and things together. Verse 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge. Wouldn't you like to have that? To know everything in the entire world? That'd be good to know. But you know what? Notice how he expounds this verse. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so I could remove mountains. I mean, can you imagine going up to the Grand Canyon and taking your hands and just pushing off the Grand Canyon? I mean, that'd be pretty good. I mean, you might scare a bunch of people, but you have the faith where you can move a mountain somewhere, or we can move mountains to Florida since we're a flat state. I mean, it'd be good to see some elevation changes. All I see in elevation changes in Florida are on golf courses. And even then, sometimes those are really about that. Saying I could have all these, I could preach, I could understand all the mysteries, truths revealed for the first time, all knowledge. Could I have all faith? So I could remove mountains. And notice the end of verse 2. And have not charity? I am nothing. We're nothing without love. We're nothing without God. And if he says, if it doesn't make sense now, verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. You could give everything to everybody. You could be the greatest giver that could be out there. And you can give your body up. But it says, if you don't do that in love, it's not going to profit you anything. It's going to mean nothing. Now in verses 4 to 8, we're going to see exactly more about charity and what it's about. Verses 1 through 3 talk about not having charity and how we're nothing, or we're just a bunch of noise, or we're not profitable. Verses 4 to 8 tells us about charity more specifically. Verse 4, charity suffereth long and is kind. Love endures. Love withstands the test of time. Those who've been married a long time, you know that. Those who are looking to be married, it's a good thing to know to love and know that it will endure as long as Both sides make that work. But charity suffereth long and is kind. Love is kind. Love is not hate. We looked at this morning. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. There should not be any fear in what we love and what we and who we love. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. It's not envious. It's not jealous. Charity vaunteth not itself. It's not puffed up. But charity also is even keel. It endures. Verse 5, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Charity doesn't misbehave. It's unseemly. It behaves itself. It's not stirred easily. It's not trying to get people agitated. Verse 6, rejoiceth not iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Charity rejoices in truth. Love doesn't cause people to sin. It should not. You don't rejoice in other people's misfallings. There are some people out there who, unfortunately, with this virus going on and other things, oh man, look, that person got it. Man, I hope it hurts them bad. No. It's not a fun thing to have. I'll tell you that. But what I'll tell you is this, is you shouldn't wish that upon anybody else. Doesn't matter how bad that person is. Why? Because they're still a human, and they still can get that love of God. They can still trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. And if we turn them away, then whose blood is on our hands if that person dies without accepting Christ? It does not rejoice in iniquity, love doesn't, but rejoiceth in the truth. It bears all things, verse 7. Believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. And we alluded to this earlier, verse 8. Charity never faileth. Charity doesn't fail. Love does not fail. If love has failed, it's because we've done something to make it happen. But true love does not fail. Because it bears all things, it believes all things, it hopes all things, it endures all things. Verse 8 again, charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. All this stuff will go away. The knowledge that we have, it's going to go away one day. I hope not. But the things that you've learned may fade away. There was a day that pastor had to take me to school one day back when I was not so tall. And because I had missed the bus, and that was a pretty common thing, is was me missing the bus. And why was that? I didn't like to get up early. So I didn't make the bus. So pastor took me to school. I was about 6, 7 years old, and was able to take him road by road exactly how to get there, how to get out of the neighborhood, how to get to 95, to get to Boynton Beach, to get to Galaxy Elementary, which is where I was going to. And it took him there exactly the way that a GPS would have. And so he's bragged that I have the best memory between the both of us. Of course, the last few months, I'm kind of questioning that. There's little things that I have tend to have forgotten. And I'm thinking, I'm 34 and I'm already forgetting little things. That's not good. But here's the thing, knowledge eventually will vanish away. And I'm hoping that the things that are leaving, that I'm able to replace that with other things. Prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Some people do forget to learn how to speak. Some of these things that are here are going to vanish away. But the verse says, charity never faileth, though. Charity endures. It continues forward. Verse 9. For For we know in part and we prophesy in part, what? That charity never fails. Love's not going to fail. If we allow true love to take hold, it won't fail us. But if we try to go elsewhere and try to look elsewhere to get love or satisfaction, it's going to fail. Verse 10. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Verse 11. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now, that's interesting how that pops up right there in the middle. Out of all these things about love and having not charity and being known for nothing and all these other stuff, being noise and profiteth, and it talks about love enduring. But then it goes into this, I was a child. It completely changes the narrative. But what is that trying to show us? Well, when I was a child, I spake as a child. There is quite a difference between a child speaking and an adult speaking. There is. Now, some children can come across very well spoken. But most children are going to be simple in the way that they think, in the way they act, in the way they comprehend things. It says, I spake as a child, I understood as a child. There are some things that I was taught as a child that I didn't understand until I was an adult. And there's some things I still don't understand to this day. So we sometimes understanding gets developed and matures. Folks, love matures. That's really what this is trying to tell us, is that love doesn't fail, but love matures. It grows and it continues to grow. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now, that doesn't mean that as soon as you become 18, 20, that you just stop being this high, lighthearted person. I still like to be lighthearted at 34. I like to play practical jokes on people. I tend to be very sarcastic quite a bit. Of course, whether you know I'm doing it or not is a different thing. But I do like a good joke. But I understand at 34 that there's certain things that I should not do anymore. There are certain things that as we get older that we put away that help us to focus more in on what God would want for us to do. Verse 12. For now we see through a glass, darkly. Have you tried to see through a glass at nighttime? A little difficult. It could be done. But if it's pitch black, you can't. But when you turn the light, you can see it clearly. It says, now that we through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known? What is that telling us? Love reveals itself. It will reveal itself and it can be done. It was dark, but now we can see clearly. And no, I'm not. And the temptation in my head's thinking, I can see clearly now, the rain is gone. I don't know why that song just popped in the head. And you're thinking, you're a preacher and you're singing that song. I'm sorry. It just popped in there. But you know what? We can see clearly if we allow us to do so. Verse 13. Now abideth faith, hope, charity. Let's break those three words down. Faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Simply, trust, believe. That's pretty important, don't you think? Absolutely. I mean, without faith, you're not going to heaven. So you agree with me, it's pretty important, right? Hope. Hope. Hope is earnestly looking toward something. The biblical definition is looking forward to something. A song we sing all the time, especially around the second coming Sunday when we all get to heaven. What a glorious day that will be when we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. We look forward to that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's something we get to look forward to. The world's definition of hope is maybe it'll happen. Maybe this will happen. Maybe I'll be able to do that. And then there's a lot of conditions and clauses and uncertainties that come up because of that. But the biblical definition of hope is looking forward to something. Looking forward to that home in heaven. And then charity. Charity, we've already explained, is the agape love, is that sacrificial love. So these things abide. They remain in us. They're with us. Faith, hope, and charity. These three. But the greatest of these is charity. I wrote in my Bible, it's more important than any spiritual gift. Charity is a selfless love. Charity is a love that continues when others don't. You can like things, you can hate things, but charity is much stronger than that. Charity is much bigger than that. And folks, the reason why love is the greatest is because of the fact that it doesn't fail. It doesn't become evil. It doesn't do things that other things would allow us to do or things that would just cause us to have friction. Charity does not have friction. Charity doesn't rejoice in sin. Charity endures. It's continual. That's why it's the greatest of these. That's why it said that I could have all the tongues of men and angels, but if I have no charity, I'm just a windbag. I'm just a sound producer. I could understand everything. I could have all faith, but if I have no charity, I am nothing. Love brings everything together. And that's what 1 Corinthians 13 is trying to tell us, is that love brings everything together. That's why it is the greatest of these. It's greater than hope. It's greater than faith. Because you can't come to God and love God without love. Nowhere in Scripture do I see that you can come to God without love. You come to Him in faith, but you have to trust and believe Him and make that sacrifice to turn yourself away from your sins and turn to Christ. That's why love is one of the biggest themes in the entire Scripture. One person put it this way, and I'll be done. The Bible is the greatest love language that we could ever have. It's the greatest love book that we could ever have. You could write in the beginning of your Bible, to you, and at the end of Revelation chapter 22, 21, love God. That's why the love of God is so important, because without it, we're nothing. Charity doesn't fail. Faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Father, we come to you in prayer. We thank you for the day you've given to us. Father, we pray that as we're in the stillness of this room here, I pray that you just help us just to understand what you have here for us this evening. Father, I pray that you'd help us to understand this love or reaffirm that love toward us. Father, I pray that you would just help us to be able to share this love with other people, to the lost, to those who need it the most, to those who are hurting, to those who need to know the love of God, and help us to have that boldness to be able to share it. Father, bless and move in this invitation time, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.